One of Jesus's last acts of obedience was to honor his mom. Let me say that again. One of Jesus's last acts of obedience was to honor his mom. The fifth commandment says this: honor your father and your mother. So when Jesus was on the cross in excruciating pain, he had us on his mind, I believe, but he had his mom on his mind. And this is what John chapter 19 says. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, the disciple whom he loved, that's John, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. One of Jesus' last acts of obedience was to honor his mom. Jesus wanted to make sure that Mary's needs were taken care of. He felt a sense of responsibility. He felt a sense, a call to let her know that she was not forgotten. Tonight, I'm going to make one of those calls. It'll be around 9 o'clock tonight, and I'm going to call my mom. Oh, it's not just because today's Mother's Day. It's because it's Sunday. And it's what I've done for nearly 2 years now. When my dad passed away, I felt a strong sense that I needed to step up my attentiveness and my communication with mom. I didn't tell her what I was doing. She, although quickly picked up on my Sunday night pattern, sometimes even now I'll call like on a Thursday for some reason. She goes, "It's not Sunday." She knows. She anticipates the call. And being an hour away, I'm limited on the tasks and the jobs that I can do for her. And my limited skills, they get in the way as well. But sometimes what people need isn't a service, it isn't a gift. What they need from us is us. People need us. They need our attentiveness. They need our relationship. That they need our listening, our responding. That people need our encouraging. Not just something from us. They need us. So on this Mother's Day, moms, I'd like to talk to the men in the room on your behalf. Men, I'd like to talk to you about how we can improve honoring our moms. And it's really not just about moms. It's about honoring and respecting all the women in our life. So if we're married, it means how do we honor our wives? If we have daughters, how do we honor and respect our daughters? Even mother-in-laws, we're called to honor and respect. Sisters and sister-in-laws, how do we do that? How do we do that better? And it's not limited there. It's co-workers and teammates, waitresses and bank tellers, women that we know and women we don't know, old women and young women, toddlers and teenagers, blondes and brunettes, women who work outside the home, women who work inside the home, women we supervise and women who supervise us, women who are outspoken and women who are quiet, and the list goes on and on and on of women that we need to learn how to treat in a way that honors and respects them. Now, if you hear anything in the news, you know that over the last several years, I guess, there's been a lot of discussion about the ill treatment of women in media. And this morning, my point isn't on indicating whether those accusations are true or not. That's not the point. The point is this, that our culture outside the church and the culture inside the church, we need to learn how to do a better job of treating each other with dignity and respect. We need to. We need to get it right. And although we'd like the world out there to get it first, we need to get it first so that the watching world may see how to treat one another right. Now, in ancient Mid-Eastern culture and in modern-day Middle Eastern culture, there is a low perspective, low image of women. They were not, they are not treated fairly or equally. Know this, Jesus was aware of that. Jesus knew exactly that the culture in which he was in. And oftentimes in scriptures, we find Jesus crossing over these barriers about the way in which the culture viewed women. How did he bring honor to those who were overlooked and underappreciated? I wonder if there's some in this room who feel overlooked and underappreciated. Overlooked and underappreciated from our children. Overworked and underappreciated from our spouse. Overlooked and underappreciated from anyone. So when we look at Jesus, his attentiveness to the overlooked and underappreciated, we find Jesus interacting with a woman at the well. He wasn't even supposed to talk to her, and yet he asked for something to drink from her and interacted with her. When it came to the leper, he put his hands on the lepers, and everyone else ran away. The Gentiles, he interacted with them. Children, he invited them to come and to come close to him and sit on his lap. Tax collectors, the sick, the sinner, the Samaritan, we find Jesus throughout the Gospels, but especially in the Gospel of Luke, we find Jesus interacting with people who are overlooked and underappreciated. So it begs the question, how does Jesus show us the right way to honor someone? How does Jesus interact with them? I mean, I've already given some examples. But we also find Jesus honoring people by getting on his hands and knees and washing someone's feet. We find Jesus reaching out and touching someone, viewing the crowds and the masses and full of compassion on them. He talks to people. He gave them his undivided attention. When he came to someone, and even though there were masses in the streets and people all around him in the room, he spoke with someone as if they were the only person on the street, as if they were the only person in the room. This is how Jesus honored people. He refused to abuse. He spoke with gentleness. He used words of encouragement. He held, he helped, and he led by example. And I'm calling upon us, men and women, but especially men, that we would lead by example, that we would lead a generation, that our kids, our sons would become a kind of man who would know how to love their wives, honor their moms, treat women with dignity and respect. Today, there are too many absent husbands and fathers. There are too many abusive husbands and fathers, abusing physically and verbally and sexually and emotionally. There are too many. There are too many who want to be served rather than willing to serve. There are too many men who love work more than their family. There are too many who give up their responsibility to be a spiritual leader. There are too many who refuse to say a word of encouragement or refuse to show affection. There are too many. There are too many addicted to pornography, addicted to materialism, addicted to themselves. There are just too many. too many in the church, too many in our community, too many. But Jesus has called us to much more than that. He's called us to much more than that. And as a child of God, what we need to understand that we're not only a child of God, but men, we are to be men of God. We're to be men of God. God created us to be manly, and he created us to be godly. And somewhere along the line, there was this idea that maybe those didn't go hand in hand, but I'm telling you, manliness and godliness go hand in hand. Amen? Manliness and godliness go hand in hand. In fact, if we're not godly, I would dare say that it's difficult to be manly, because God empowers us to be the kind of man that we should be. The mothers of our children need men who will do two things: to love Jesus deeply and to love others devotedly. To love Jesus deeply and to love others devotedly. Now, Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 22. When asked the question about the greatest commandment, he said this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Love Jesus deeply, love others devotedly. Do you think that that might be a good recipe for a healthy marriage? Do you think that that might be a good recipe for a good home life? Do you think that might be a good recipe for an encouraging work environment? Do you think that might be a good recipe for a successful community? Yeah. We just got to get these two things down: to love Jesus deeply and to love others devotedly. Our families and our communities, churches and our families, they need more people who are willing to follow Jesus' example in this. So this morning, it's time for a pop quiz. Now, I didn't like pop quizzes in school, and you may not like this one, but the teacher always gave the pop quiz whether I liked it or not. Now, this pop quiz is not intended to really shame us. It's not intended to embarrass us. It's intended to inspire us and to awaken something in us as men. And I'll tell you, this message is for me just as much as anyone else in the room, okay? It's for me just as much as anyone else. And these questions don't have to only be for men, because women need to learn also to love Jesus deeply and to love others devotedly. All right, so here's the quiz. First question: how helpful am I? How helpful am I? I already indicated that Jesus said this: I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. Hear me on this. Kids, your mom is not your slave. Husbands, your wife is not your slave. God has placed these women in our life to help us, but we are also to help them. How helpful are you? Are you attentive to dishes and clutter? Are you attentive to, you know, helping out with the kids? And, you know, or you're like, no, that is all you. A little twist on the old saying: ask not what your wife can do for you, ask what you can do for your wife. Or ask not what your mom can do for you, but what you can do for your mom. How helpful are you? And if you want to, you can score yourself, you know, between 1 and a 10. 10, I mean, 1, not so good. 10, you know, excellent. Question 2, how affectionate am I? When there's a marriage, a wedding, right here, in fact, there are many who have said these words, to have and to hold. To have and to hold. Affection is much more than sexual. But being held, putting your arm around her, holding her hand, hugs, smiles, kisses, are important expression of affection. Perhaps, you know, you got the have, but how are you doing on the holding? Holding. How affectionate am I? Question three, how attentive am I? How attentive am I? It's not just hearing someone, but really listening to them. And when we sit and we listen to somebody, we're engaged. There's eye-to-eye contact. There are verbals. There are nonverbals. We're not thinking about, you know, the next thing that we're going to say or the next thing that we're going to do. It is attentiveness. And as I said, Jesus was supreme at this. Talking to someone as if they were the only one on the street or the only one in the room, they were attentive. How about you? How attentive are you? How faithful am I? It's the next question. How faithful am I? This is addressing more than physical affairs, but also with our thoughts and the inappropriate images that bombard us, or unhealthy friendships. How faithful are we? How faithful am I? Next quiz question, how nice am I? Now, I was going to put how loving am I, but I kind of feel as if, you know, even the word love has just been watered down in a way. You may go, yeah, I love them, but I don't like them. You know, I'm not nice to them. I'm just asking the basic question, how nice are you? Would your kids say to you men that you are nice to their mom? Would your coworkers and the people around you describe you as, yeah, he's nice. He's nice. Nice is practical love, using words that are gentle and kind. Basically, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. As Christ followers, Jesus lives in us through His Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the qualities that we should exhibit as Christ followers with the help of the Holy Spirit. So how nice are you? Or do you choose rude? How nice am I? Next quiz question, how well do I provide? And many would go, man, okay, this one I got, you know, I'm a 10. I provide, but I'm talking about much more than just the physical things. I'm not just talking about the things that we buy, or, shelter and food and transportation, much more than that. How are you in providing, of giving of yourself? Providing your time and your attention, your protection, your love, your friendship, your leadership. You provide that or not? How well do I provide? Last quiz question, how spiritual am I? How spiritual am I? I am not talking about, are you connected at church? I'm asking, are you connected with Jesus? Because there's a big difference between connecting at church and connecting with Jesus. There's a difference between, are you reading your Bible, to, are you living the Bible? It's difficult, if not impossible, to live like Jesus if we're not connected to Him. Apart from the vine, we can do nothing. John 15. Loving Jesus is the first step towards loving others, which is why Jesus said it that way, to love the Lord and to love others as yourself. In fact, 1 John 4:19 gives us this clue about how they're connected. We love because he first loved us. Our capacity to love our spouse and our kids and to treat women right and fair with dignity and respect comes from an understanding that God loves us and that his love pours out, overflows out of who we are. We love because he first loved us. All right, so that's quite a list. It's a bit overwhelming, I admit, for me as well as for you. So I'm going to invite you all to pick one. Which one got your attention today? Which one is God kind of putting his finger on? Like, this is the place to start. I'm going to give you just a moment. Go ahead and pick one. I'm not going to have you share it with anybody. This is between you and God. Just pick one on the list where you will start and listen now then to God where you might take one step forward. Okay? I'm going to just give you a moment to do that. Pick one and listen. Ask God, what's one step forward in this area? Go. Today, I'm simply asking us not to plead the fifth. People who are on trial, who are trying to avoid the truth or afraid of incriminating themselves, they take and plead the fifth. Today, I'm asking us to obey the fifth. Honor your father and your mother. Mother's Day is more than just children making cards with hearts on it. Honoring mom continues well into adulthood. We have a great challenge and a great opportunity before us to teach others how to follow Jesus' example of honoring moms and women all around us. Honoring mom is more than giving her what she wants today. It's giving her what she needs every day. It's more than giving her what she wants today. It's giving her what she needs every single day. Our young boys need to know how to treat women well. And our young girls need to know how they should expect to be treated. Men, you and I have the opportunity to influence those two groups. So let us commit to two things. Love Jesus deeply, love others devotedly. I think that this would be a great Mother's Day gift. Help us, Jesus, to lean into loving you more than we have, and to lean into loving others better than we have, especially the women around us. Thank you, Jesus, that you provide a wonderful example. Thank you that you have loved us so that we could love others. We invite you now to continue to nudge us forward to live like you, and to honor mom. In Jesus' name, amen.